Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are here with me today. Today's show, Mind Detox, with my guest, Sandy Neubiging. And we'll get to him in just a moment. But of course, first, we have our quotes of the day from Mike Dooley in the Universe and from Abraham. So let's get started. I know I forgoed my quotes last week. My apologies. I know how much you guys love them. So let's just get started with the universe. Options multiply when insistence lessens. Be fruitful, the universe. We love our quotes from Mike Dooley in the Universe. Very short quote this week, but one that actually has a lot going for it. Options multiply when insistence lessens. What does that mean? That means that when we stop insisting on things happening a certain way, being a certain way, happening at a certain time, insisting that it happens with certain people, insisting on all these little details that don't really make that much difference. When we release our insistence on things happening that way, then things are more open for the universe to be able to bring stuff to us in many different ways, and then our options truly multiply. And I often talk about this when I talk about the law of attraction, which we get to next, but when we're so stuck on things happening a certain way, it really throws up resistance to that thing actually happening. And so when we sort of release our egoic ideas that things need to be a certain way and happen a certain way, then the universe can bring it to our intentions to us in the most amazing, the most plentiful, outrageous ways that sometimes our own imagination can't even comprehend in the beginning. So when we release these ideas that, we have to find abundance in this particular fashion, or find a relationship in this particular fashion, or find, you know, anything in a particular way, when we release that insistence and we say, universe, look, this is what I want, just bring it to me however you see fit, then the universe can bring it to you multiple different ways. And then it's really our job just to be open and to really be aware and be conscious of how this thing may come to us, whatever it is that we're desiring. So a very short quote from the universe, but a very powerful one. So let's take that with us throughout our week and see how we can drop our insistences. Okay, let's see what Abraham has in store for us this week. Ooh, and this is like getting back to fundamentals. Law of attraction says that which is like unto itself is drawn. Vibrations are always matched. So as you experience the contrast which inspires the new desire, this new desire, whether it is a strong one or a soft one, is summoning unto itself proportionately. And as it summons, it is always answered. It is the basis of our universe. When it is asked, it is always given. Humans think they are asking with their words or even with their actions. And sometimes you are, but the universe is not responding to your words or your action. The universe is responding to your vibrational calling, Abraham. And I'm going to add one more thing to it. And sometimes we think we're asking with our thoughts, our words, our actions, our thoughts, but actually it's with the energy that we're embodying that we are asking the universe to bring us something. And this really, this basic quote, that which is like unto itself is drawn, is the basis of the whole concept of the law of attraction. And what does that mean? I mean, what does that mean for us in our day-to-day life? Well, have you ever noticed how somebody who is truly joyful and happy and energetic seems to always have more things to be joyful and happy and energetic about? or the person who is sad and depressed and is always complaining somehow always finds more things to complain about? That's what we're talking about. It's when we are truly embodying a particular energy, a particular vibration. And sometimes we're embodying it and we're not even aware of it. It's not that conscious a choice. And this is what why I talk about this stuff at the beginning of every show, is because I want you guys to be more conscious about not just what you're saying, not just what you're thinking, not just what you're doing, but how you are being. What are you embodying? Because the more we embody those feelings, those energies, those ways of being that we want to draw to ourselves more and more, that's how it will come to us. And look, do our thoughts contribute? Absolutely. Do our words contribute? Absolutely. Do our actions contribute? Totally. But those are secondary. It's our energy that we carry with us throughout the day that is what brings to us more stuff. And the funny thing is, and one of the reasons why when I'm coaching my clients and I try and help them to be more conscious of their words and what they're saying, is I hear it so often that people say, you know, before I knew what law of attraction was, I was able to manifest stuff like crazy. And then once I knew what it was, somehow I wasn't able to manifest as much. And the reason why is, and this is very important to understand, is that then we get self-conscious about it. Like before we knew what we were doing, we just naturally did it. And then when we found out this is like a universal principle, this is a law, this is something that we could actually do something with, you know, then it really became sort of, we got a self-conscious and we got, oh my God, what if I attract the wrong thing? And you know, what if I do the wrong thing or whatever? And we start with all this self-criticism and doubt and judgment. And that does not serve us. And that totally takes us out of the energy of the very thing we're trying to attract. I remember I had one client who was a relatively young woman. And I remember her saying, you know, before I ever heard of the law of attraction, I'm from upstate New York. I came to college down here in the city. I said, you know what? I really want my own apartment and it needs to be in this price range, you know, in a neighborhood I like. And I found it within 2 months. And then I wanted this and I got it right away. And then this. And she was telling me like all these things she manifested in her life without even knowing what she was doing, because it was just sort of natural to her. And then she learned about law of attraction. She goes, since I've learned about law of attraction, I haven't been able to manifest any of the things that I've wanted. And I worked with her to kind of show her how, once she learned about it, then she got a little judgmental. Then she got a little bit nervous or concerned. And then the resistances crept in. And then her energy changed around manifesting the things that she wanted. And so this is just something for everybody to keep in mind, and let's take it throughout the day with us. Let's just stop worrying about manifesting the things. Let's stop judging whether it'll happen or not and making it like, oh, I must be doing something wrong if I don't manifest this thing. Because before we knew what this was, we never even had that thought. We just had a desire and we waited for it to happen and it was there. We had a desire. We felt what it would be like for that desire to manifest, and boom, it was there. So that's what I would love for you all to do over this next week. And let me know how it goes. You can, you know, chime in on today's show, chime in on next week's show, and just let me know how it goes embodying the energy of attracting that which you want. All right. Woof. Okay. So before I bring on my guests, let me just give a few shout outs. Got lots of people on the Facebook Live today. We have Patty, Victoria, Paula, Raphael, Daniel. Oh, Daniel, my brother from down in Peru. Great to see you on. Paige, Wonderful to see you guys here. And if sorry if I'm sounding a little disjointed there for a second, but it's for some reason the computer doesn't show me people until I put a comment in. So I had to put a comment in. So now it is my extreme pleasure to welcome to the show meditation teacher, monk, mentor, speaker, multi-best-selling author, Sandy Neubigging. Sandy is the creator of the Mind Detox and Mind Calm methods, a meditation teacher and author of several books. Sandy is a mind detox expert and creator of Calmology. We'll be asking him all about that. With a unique ability with a unique ability to quickly get to the real root cause of people's issues and share complex mind, body, and soul concepts in ways that make sense. Sandy has personally overcome an eating disorder, bullying, I'm going to ask him about that, definitely, insomnia, heartbreak, and struggle to be a success with dyslexia. During his path back to peace, he's detoxed his mind, meditated for thousands of hours, and even become a monk. And we know monks here are very much deep in our hearts here at Talking Alternative. Sandy is a living example that peace is possible for anyone who is willing to, quote, master their mind, unquote. And he's on a mission to prove that inner stillness and engaging present moment awareness is the secret to life's success. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Sandy. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm wonderful. Thanks very much for asking, Simon. What a beautiful introduction to your show you've just done.
Oh, thank you so much, Sandy. I appreciate that. You're hailing from across the pond, I understand.
Yes, I currently reside in Spain, so I'm calling from what we call the Meditation Mountain over in Spain, beside a meditation center.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Oh, my God, it must be gorgeous there. I was in Spain once a number of years ago near Barcelona and outside of Barcelona. The countryside is so beautiful in Spain.
It's beautiful. However, we had a huge storm yesterday, so everything's just kind of the calm after the storm. It's beautiful to see, actually.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, so I have to ask you, because you probably don't know, but the founder of this network, Giorgio Rapetti, became a Theravadan Buddhist monk, which is how I ended up with the station, because he was getting rid of all his worldly possessions. So I'm just curious, what kind of monk did you become?
I'm a monk that's referred to as an Ishaya monk. The Ishayas basically are sharing how to experience higher states of consciousness and experience oneness with the source of life.
Ah, beautiful, beautiful. So I'm always curious, and we just have a minute before we go to break, so I just want to get started on a little bit of your background and how you kind of got on your path of meditation and sort of your spiritual path. Is this something that you had always been interested in since you were a kid, or is this something that happened later in life, or is there a particular incident that sort of put your feet on this path?
Well, you know, I'd always felt it was something important to do in this lifetime. I felt that I need to make sure this lifetime mattered. And I knew that I couldn't just do the 9-to-5 and kind of, you know, get a mortgage, a wife, or whatever, and then die after a couple of years retirement. But it felt like there was something big to do. I had had difficulties with, like you said during the introduction, with bullying and anxiety and learning disorders and lots of things like that that really motivated me to find peace on the inside and find the answers to some of life's big questions, like who am I and what's the point of all this thing called life.
Yeah.
And so I was helping people from a therapeutic perspective, but I go into meditation because I'd actually use things like the law of attraction, things like, you know, visualization and feelingization and the secret and all that sort of stuff to create the external life that I wanted, but I still felt there was more. Wow. I felt I was still experiencing stress despite, you know, being on TV in 30 countries, having best-selling books out, being with the girl of my dreams and the house of my dreams, driving the car of my dreams, all that sort of stuff. But there was still an inner itch that there must be more to life than this. And that was when I came across meditation and really dove into the inner journey.
Beautiful, beautiful. All right, I want you to hold it there. I'm going to ask you a couple more questions about that when we get back. And then we'll talk about how you kind of came up with this whole idea of the mind detox and Calmology and all that good stuff. Okay?
Okay.
Wonderful. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this live every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc and on Facebook Live. And just another quick shout out, because there's some special people on the Facebook Live that I really want to mention. Jonathan, thank you for joining us. Roberta Shaler, fellow EBC member, thank you. Kendra, dear angel, thank you. Selena, former Maitreya, former guest on my show. Patty, my loyal listener. Ed and Kevin Michael Barbaro, former host who used to do Coffee Talk 2.0 on the network a few years ago. And I hope you're doing well, Kevin. It's nice to see you listening. All right. So, Sandy. By the way, Sandy, did I pronounce your last name right?
I think so, yeah. New Bigging.
New Bigging. Okay, good.
You did a great job. Most people say New Beginning, so you did a great job pronouncing it correctly.
Yes, I was paying attention to that. There's no N in there, so it was New Bigging. Okay, so I understand that you accidentally created this mind detox method. So why don't you tell us a little bit about sort of, you know, how you went from just on your own meditation path to coming up with this methodology that you found helped in ways that other things didn't necessarily help you with?
Well, I was invited to work as a therapist on a health detox retreat in Spain, incidentally.
Oh, okay.
And I turned up looking to impress and make an impact at my first retreat that I'd been invited to do. And the first person walked in and said they had a health condition. I think it was psoriasis. Uh-huh. At which point, I didn't actually even know what that was back then, and I kind of worried the client by asking what it was, and they said, oh, it was excessive skin on their body and stuff. Now, at that point, I'd just been working on the mental and emotional things, but I had been learning a bit about the mind-body connection. So
right.
I asked the first client, you know, well, the mind and body are connected. Shall we see if there might be a mind-based cause to this? To which point, they agreed. And I remember looking down at my blank page, up at their expectant eyes. Yeah. And thankfully, a question came out of my mouth where I asked if there might be a mind, you know, what event might have caused this health condition.
Mm.
To both of our surprise, she had an answer. We could quickly establish that what she had gone through in the past, you could see how the body was adapting by creating the psoriasis. We spent the rest of the session helping her resolve the past event, and she left. Next person walked in, they also had a health condition, and I said, the mind and body are connected. Shall we see if there might be a mind-based cause? They agreed. I did the same questions, and again, we found an unresolved event. We could see the correlation between what had happened in their past and what their body was doing today. We spent the rest of the session resolving it, and they left. And that happened multiple times on that health detox retreat. And so, because I was the mind guy on a detox retreat, Mind Detox was born. And that was about 15 years ago now. And since then, it's been shown on television in 30 countries. I've trained practitioners in the method from over 20 countries. And we've really had hundreds upon hundreds of amazing results with people to heal a whole host of health conditions, emotional issues, and external life issues as well, helping to discover and resolve the root cause of what's going on.
Wow, beautiful. You know, this is a concept that I've been exposed to many times in recent years. Are you familiar with the work of Dr. Gabor Mate?
Yes.
So and it's sort of the he talks about it, and a number of other people now are starting to talk about the fact that, you know, in the West, we have this tendency to sort of separate different aspects of our lives, our health from our mind, from our emotional state. And it seems like what people are finding, like Gabor Mate, that it's all interrelated, and that there is no separation between our physical health and our emotional health and our mental health and our spiritual health, that one affects all the others. Is that what you're finding as well?
Absolutely, Sam. I think you summarized it perfectly in the introduction you did when you said that you talked about the egoic self. I think you mentioned that phrase. The egoic self really loves to create separation. It loves to conceptualize and divide and try to conquer in a way. And one of the ways that the ego kind of tries to make sense of reality is to divide us into a mind, a body, a soul, you know, and it tries to like divide things up in a way to try to understand really. And the reality beyond ego is actually we are one, unity. We are one unified consciousness. That some of our consciousness is in the form of thought, some of our consciousness is in the form of emotion, some of the consciousness is in the physical matter in the form of the body, for example. And even some of the consciousness, it shows up in external life circumstances or what appears to be external life circumstances. But ultimately, everything is existing within this supreme unified consciousness. And so at the root and truth of life is oneness. And that makes sense, therefore, that health conditions can have a mental and emotional or life circumstantial root cause. And so I absolutely agree with what you're saying.
It can be, though, a little tricky to find that root cause, because we might think something is caused, has one root cause, but it actually can be something different, or it could be several things, right?
Yes, and that's why I've got the Mind Detox method for you. It's a five-step process. The first step helps you to get the root cause age, when the event potentially happened. The second step helps you to clarify what the root cause event was that might be causing the current present day issue. And the rest of the method helps you to further diagnose the root cause and resolve it. But in short, you're absolutely right. The trick is to ask the right questions, because if you ask the right questions, you get the right answers.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes,
so
completely.
It's all about asking the right questions and trusting your first answer to that question, because we have an incredible inner intelligence that is constantly trying to give us the answers, but we're often not listening, or we're assuming it might be more complicated than that, or whatever. There's many reasons why we don't quite understand, but that's why the method is so helpful, because it actually gives you a methodical five-step process to actually go from not knowing what the cause might be to getting really clear on what it most likely is, and then resolving it, and then seeing what happens in the body. Or the emotions or the life circumstances, how they change, how they evolve.
And so is there one right question to start off, or does it depend really on the circumstance and what is going on at the time?
Well, the method itself has fixed questions. But what I would say, this isn't actually one of the Mind Detox questions, but I want to kind of emphasize the importance of intention when asking the question, any question. Similar to what you were talking about earlier. You know, someone can stand there and go, why is this happening to me? they're going to get a very different answer if they're genuinely curious and go, why is this happening to me? You know, why is my body adapting in this way? Why would my body be adapting to create this psoriasis or this eczema or these migraines or this stomach, irritable bowel syndrome or whatever it might be? We need to start exploring with an open mind. You know, there's many questions you can ask. Obviously, there's many that's actually the method itself. But in the book, I share additional questions, simple questions like, if this physical condition was an emotion, what emotion would it be? If this condition was trying to send me a symbolic message, what might it be trying to tell me? Simple questions like that can actually start to open you up to recognize the symbolic nature of the mind-body connection and be well on your way to finding its resolution.
So now this method is good for not just sort of physical issues, but emotional issues as well. And I want to ask you, just because of my own personal experience with bullying, and I had an incident recently that kind of brought up the memory of childhood bullying. How did this method help you to deal with bullying in your life?
It's a great question. I actually have an article about this on my website in the stress list section, just so you know, because I'm looking at it right now.
Ah, okay.
Because I heard you mention it before.
Right.
You know, it's amazing that about 40% of young people have said that they've been bullied in the last 12 months.
Wow.
And that's a huge percentage. And I'd say it's probably even higher than that, because not everyone's willing to admit it. I think bullying is a big deal, and a lot of kids find it very tough. But you say it yourself, it can even happen way into adulthood.
Yes.
Personally, the bullying completely led me to almost self-sabotage my own success later in life.
Yes.
I was very unconsciously avoidant of publicity, getting out there, marketing, being seen, and all that sort of stuff. And when I did some mind detox on the cause of that apparent, you know, self-sabotaging my own success, I was fascinated to uncover early lifetime bullying. Now, let me just share a quick story from that. Okay. I remembered during the mind detox that I was in school one morning. I must have been around, 13 years old or something. And one of the cool kids announced to everyone that I was gay. Now, within a day or two, that rumor had spread like wildfire throughout the whole population of the entire school. And from that moment on, everyone was bullying me. Now, I was ostracized, I was outcast, and it led to a huge amount of loneliness and hurt. And it was even more concerning because I actually wasn't gay, but that wasn't the point.
Yeah.
The point was it had been said with the intention of hurting me, bullying me, and ultimately ostracizing me. Now, what's that got to do with later in life and how that bullying impacted me later in life? Well, one person that day had said something apparently a negative about me, so to speak, and then it led to a huge amount of hurt, bullying, and ostracizing. And so later in life, no wonder I'm avoiding any marketing or publicity, because I was avoiding still that one person saying something horrible about me, and then that rumor being spread. And so
Sandy, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to hold it right there because we just have to take a break. And so rather than give everybody the answer right away, why don't you hold it? And when we come back, I want you to tell us how your mind detox method helped you to overcome those feelings of not wanting to be seen, okay?
Okay.
Because I really want to know this myself. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. My guest this hour is Sandy Neubiging, and we will be right back in just a moment.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
D-
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're talking this hour with Sandy Neubiging, author of the book Mind Detox. So, Sandy, before we went to break, we were talking all about sort of your experience being bullied as a child and how it led to you seeking not to be in the limelight, seeking to not really go out there and really promote yourself. So how did Mind Detox help you to overcome this inner feeling of wanting to hide?
Great question. Well, like you say, before the break, we discovered what we'd call in the mind detox world as the root cause event, which was that moment in school when I was, you know, first bullied and what happened as a result. We then, with mind detox, go on to explore why it was a problem for me. So, you know, we can all have different events happen, but the trick with mind detox is to go and explore the root cause reason, because you can't change what happened necessarily, but you can heal your relationship with what happened by exploring the individual unique perspective and experience of it. So exploring the root cause reason, I discovered that I'd really felt hurt, isolated, and rejected. Okay. And then we immediately move on. Once we got that clarity, we move on to explore alternative ways of perceiving that event, updating the memory, so to speak. And so the simple question, which I love, is, you know, what can I know now? If I'd known it then in school that day, I'd never have felt, for example, hurt, isolated, and rejected in the first place. And so the answer I came up with, I remember, were things like, you know, I'm not gay, but if I was, it would actually be okay. I survived the event. Life moved on, and I found great, loving friends. And honestly, they were kids. They were doing their best to fit in, and they were probably scared of being in my shoes and being bullied themselves. Right. And when I started to see from an adult's perspective, you know, what the younger me didn't know then, I then mind helps as a process, once you got these learnings, to install it into the body mind. And amazingly, when I think back on the root cause reason, that sentence of feeling hurt, isolated, and rejected, it feels emotionally neutral. When I think back on the memory in the past that used to feel so emotionally charged, it feels emotionally neutral. Mm. And then if I forward, project in a way and consider if something similar had happened in the future, how would I respond? I see that I wouldn't be so bothered at all. Wow. And so that tells us that there's been sort of shift at the unconscious level. I no longer have the same beliefs running that I did before, because I no longer believe it's justified to feel what I was feeling. And so basically, it's a very simple process. It takes you through, if you have any issue and you don't know why it's happening, you get the root cause event, age, the event, the root cause reason, the learnings, you install them, and then you test the work. And it's incredibly intuitive, organic, natural, And a lot of the practitioners that, you know, learn it either from themselves or for others say that they can't imagine working any other way because it's just such a natural way to explore the root cause.
I see. And, you know, one thing, my wife is a therapist and she used to do a lot of talk therapy, cognitive behavior therapy. But, you know, over the years, it seems to have become less and less effective. And now she does things like EMDR and somatic experiencing that are much more body-centered forms of therapy. How do you find, like, this methodology? Because it sounds very mind-oriented in a way. How does this actually, like... when you say like gets installed, like how does this actually work with the nervous system so that in the person's body and their nervous system, they feel different after using the modality?
Well, it's a very good point. And when I'm, you know, teaching people in the book or through the book or teaching practitioners, I make sure that, you know, I emphasize that to never let it become a mind, you know, heady exercise, because it needs to be embodied. That's a word that I know that you love. You said it multiple times at the beginning of this conversation.
Very good.
And
paying
so
attention.
It really is embodied. It is to really embody the learnings. And how do you do that? Well, whenever someone is actually going through the process, they usually do experience some sort of energy or emotion. And for me, when that energy and emotion is activated, that's when you want to install the positive, loving, and liberating learnings at that moment in time. And so I think it's important to a certain extent that the neurology is activated when you're making this change so that it is not, like you say, a kind of a heady, mindy, superficial type exercise.
Right. Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. I really appreciate it. I want to ask you about your success with dyslexia, but before we get there, I want to ask you about comology. What is comology?
Well, comology is a combination of four primary transformational techniques. You've got the mind calm and body calm meditation techniques, and you've got the mind detox and the calm cure transformational techniques. And together, they're known as comology. They're basically the four primary techniques that I've created over the last 15 years that people from around the world like to use and practice and use with other people. It's a real system of self-awakening and self-discovery and self-healing. You know, at the heart of comology is calm. At the heart of calm is conscious awareness life meditation, C-A-L-M. And so at the heart of comology really is the direct living experience of the unbounded consciousness within, which is always calm, well, and free, even if our mind happens to be busy or emotions happen to be doing something or our body is going through a difficult time or external life circumstances. The philosophy at the heart of comology is that there's an aspect of you that is untouched by these temporary transient things. And if you are having a problem in your life, ultimately, it's boiling down to the fact that you're having an identity crisis of some sort. You believe that you're someone or something that you're not, and you're identifying in these temporary aspects of yourself, like your thoughts, like your emotions, like your body, and like your life circumstances. It's about rediscovering the inner presence of peace, the inner presence of presence, to really learn how to master the mind and to live every day fully alive from the present moment. Now, most people aren't actually doing that. They're mostly caught up in their mind thinking about life, which is making them one step removed from their life and one step removed from reality and one step removed from their real self, this permanent underlying nature. So comology is ultimately helping people to return to the realness and the aliveness of reality and their real self.
Right. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Like, I'm in New York City. We live in a big city. Let's just say, you know, one of my listeners is on the subway and they're being crowded and pushed and they're feeling anxious or angry. How do they calm down? What would be something like in the immediate moment, very quick, that they could do to bring them back to the presence and bring that stillness back to their inner side of themselves?
Beautiful question. Well, first of all, you've got to remember that it's not the thing that's the problem, but the thoughts about the thing that's making it a problem.
So
it's a little phrase that I like. It's not the thing, okay. It's the thoughts about the thing.
Right.
So it's not the fact that it's not the busy subway that's causing the stress or discomfort. It's what they're doing inside themselves. They're having thoughts about the subway, about what they don't like. They're usually judgmental thoughts. There's usually some resistance going on there. They're usually some attachment to being somewhere else and all the rest of it. And ultimately, they're in their head feeling their thinking instead of in themselves directly experience the calm consciousness within. And so, there's so many games you can play. But what I would tend to get people to play with is as a simple thing is to just notice the space that you're currently occupying.
Okay.
It's a beautiful little simple exercise you can do. Although it might be busy and cramped in there, there is some space that you're occupying. And if you take your attention to that space, your attention, you feel what you focus on. So as you start to feel and notice the space that you're occupying, you're actually going to start feeling more spacious within as opposed to crowded or under pressure or stressed or whatever. But the main thing you want to be doing is recognizing it's not the thing, but the thoughts about the thing. And if you can let go of the thoughts, naturally, you're going to experience much more calm because you're not going to be feeling your thinking. You're going to be resting back into the consciousness within. So there's many, many techniques. Another technique I'd love to share just while we've got a second is what I call the quick reality check.
Uh-huh.
That's where you can start just to notice, use your five senses. It's quite simple mindfulness, but it's a slightly different way of doing mindfulness.
Okay.
So as you're just hanging out in the subway, for example,
right,
as you're looking ahead, you just notice something in your field of vision that you previously weren't aware of. So something in your field of vision that you can see that you weren't previously aware of seeing, or something that you can currently hear that you previously weren't aware of hearing. It was happening in your environment, but you weren't actually attentive to it. Or something you're physically touching that you previously weren't aware of physically touching. It might be the pressure of your toe within your shoe or your bag on your shoulder or something. But all of these simple little exercises bring you back to being more present and aware. And when you become present and aware, you start to experience what the present moment awareness is like, which is calm, conscious, and clear, as opposed to all the busyness and ups and downs and judgments and resistances of the mind.
Gotcha. I see. So that's great advice, and I really appreciate that. I want to ask you about resist, persist, and safe space, but we have to take a break first. And I just wanted to ask you, what's your website, just in case people want to take a quick look at it after the show? And I'll ask you again at the very end, but I just wanted to get it from you now.
You can go to my website, my name, sandynewbeing.com, or if it's easier, just go to calmcool.me. That's calmcool.me.
Calmcool.me. All right.
Calmcool.me, yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so we're going to take, and this is actually our last break of the show before we end the show, so we're going to take our last break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about resist, persist, safe space, and the freedom formula, and with Sandy Newbiging, and we will be right back after these messages.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon Eastern to 1 p.m. right here on talkradio.nyc. And you can always find me on Facebook Live. Sandy, what is, and we were kind of talking about it a little bit, what is this idea of resist, persist, and the safe space? Safe place.
Well, there are two different chapters from the book, so I'll take them one by one. Essentially, okay. The resist, persist is to help people recognize that although we think we are that stress might be the cause of our problems, because it's often very, people often say, oh, the cause of this is stress, what you'll often hear. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that's the case, because stress is a symptom too. Stress is caused by something other than itself. And one of the things that came to me when I was doing this work was that all my clients were ultimately resisting something in their life. It might be something that's happened in their past, or something that might happen in the future, or something that's happening in a day-to-day life. But it's that inner reactive resistance that's actually creating that inner stress, that often the negative emotions, often pain and often suffering as well. And so it's important for people to actually recognize that, you know, if I can actually get to a place where I'm not resisting life, like you said in the introduction, if you can get to a place where you're not, you know, resisting reality, you're actually going to naturally experience much more peace. Even if reality doesn't change initially, you're going to be experiencing much more peace, happiness, and love, because the lack of happiness is a result of resisting what is. And if you can get more, be willing to experience life as it's showing up naturally, you're going to be experiencing more peace. And so, long story short, I just want people to know about this idea of resistance, because if they, let's say, they have an unresolved event in the past that they want to do mind detox on, they need to see that the negative emotion is happening today because they are still resisting what happened in the past. And so we need to use the mind detox method, for example, to stop resisting. Now, you might say, well, just let it go and stop resisting. But we're resisting because at some level we believe it's justified to resist.
Right.
And so mind detox helps to resolve the underlying belief system and attitudes that are justifying this undercurrent of resistance. And in doing so, helps the body to reduce stress, helps the body to remain in a better state of equilibrium. Optimum health comes from that holistic harmony that comes from a lack of resistance. So that's kind of the resist persist taken care of. Moving on to your next question, which is about the safe place.
Right.
Well, I could just mention, you're going to be working sometimes with the past. They might be memories that have concerned you, that were scary, that hurt you, that that you would rather not relive or ever think about again. And so to make it easier, I remind people that although the past may seem real, it's really nothing more than your imagination right now, because it's not happening anymore.
Right.
So the only place you can actually access the past or future is via the mind and imagination. And when you start to recognize that my past and my future is really happening in my mind, I need to stop being scared of my own mind, my own imagination, and I have to recognize that it's not happening right now. And what is happening right now is the present moment. And so in that chapter of the book, I guide people into ways of how to be much more present. And so they can do the work from this safe place. It's a safe place because when you're fully present, there's more space between you and the imagined past or future, and you know ultimately that even if it's a really upsetting past memory or something, it's not happening anymore. Does it make sense? And
right.
So it was a really big deal for a lot of people when they realized that the memories exist in the mind and imagination, and by coming back to the present moment, you can start to immediately heal your relationship with your past, not take it so personally, seriously, and stop it hurting you at all.
So it sounds like the real heart and core of this is really feeling safe enough to be present, truly present with where we are, with what's happening, with what's going on in the moment.
Exactly. And if you can get to a place of being in the present moment, you'll realize that it is your safe haven, it's your safe place. That people think that, oh no, I want to get away from now because my life's horrible. or whatever.
Yes.
But that's when I tell people, look, you've got to recognize the difference between your real life and your life circumstances. Okay? Your real life and your imagined life is another way of putting it. Your real life is what's happening right now. So right now, people are listening to this broadcast. That's their real life right now, listening to this word that I'm saying.
Right.
Their imagined life is everything else. Everything beyond this direct and immediate moment is actually their imagined life. And it's a massive thing to consider. But if people do recognize that there's a difference between their imagined life, their life circumstances, and what's actually happening right now, then their relationship with life improves to a point where they can experience peace and contentment and confidence as they will go about changing any life circumstance.
Wow. You know, that kind of reminds me of an incident that one of the practitioners who used to work at our center, Jackie, told me about. It was a winter day. She was driving in from Pennsylvania to New York City. I think we were doing a spoon bending workshop that evening. And
as you do.
As we do on occasion. We just moved into a new space, so I haven't done the workshop yet here in the new space, but I will be doing it in the future. But she was coming in to do this workshop with me, and she hit ice and a car hit her or something, and she spun out and then ended up, you know, stopping on like the shoulder of the road. And this was one of the practices she was practicing about, you know, being in the present moment. And so she was about to like freak out that her car was destroyed, that we had this workshop with a lot of people supposed to be attending and not being able to make it in time and all this other stuff. And she stopped and said, wait a minute. What's going on in the present moment? You know, once she had stopped, physically, she was fine. She got out, checked the car. On the outside, the car looked a wreck. She checked the engine. It was fine. She turned it over. It turned on, no problem. Someone came by to look at her car. Structurally, mechanically, the car was perfectly fine. It was totally, all the damage was exterior. So it was purely cosmetic. And so in the present moment, everything was fine. But, you know, she could feel her mind, you know, making up all these stories. And, oh, my God, about this and about that and everything happening. Mm-hmm. But in the present moment, in the moment when she was just sitting on the shoulder in her car, everything was fine. And that it kind of, you know, it's a little bit of an extreme case, but that sounds like what you're trying to get people to understand is that our mind tends to make up and have all the imagination about all these other things that aren't actually happening in the present moment right here, right now, in this very second.
Absolutely. There's a great story that I know we're on limited time, but there's a great story about a psychiatrist who was retiring after a very successful life. And he was being interviewed, and the journalist asked him to share something that he discovered, not from a textbook or a journal, but from his own living experience of being so successful. And he said that in his entire career, not a single client had had a problem in his room.
Oh.
In his room, there was a comfortable chair, there was a water, there was pot plants, there was a nice view. They would come into his room, and they would promptly leave the room, go into their mind and imagination, and start talking about stuff that wasn't actually happening in the room for the next hour and then leave. And he said that they were always safe and comfortable in his room, but they would leave that safe place. What I'm inviting people to do when they do this sort of work with mind detox or any therapeutic work, really, is to stay in the room. Be where your body is. Make sure that if you do this work, you do it with an embodied and present moment awareness type way, so that it's much a more comfortable process for you to do. Because otherwise, you're going to identify in the past, identify in the stories, start feeling your thinking, and it can be really traumatic to do that sort of work.
Yes.
So I give people exercises and ways to stay in the room, be where the body is, and be in the safe place of the present moment.
Right, right. And that's, for some people, that's very, very difficult to do, especially when we've had a lot of trauma, whether it's physical trauma, emotional trauma as children, and just learning that in the present moment, we are safe is a huge step forward for many people.
Yeah, beautifully put.
Yeah. So, Sandy, I could talk with you for hours. I see we're kindred spirits. Unfortunately, we have to start wrapping things up. Why don't you let our audience know how they can get in touch with you? Where can they find the book? All that good stuff.
Well, one of the best ways you can work with me is through my Calm Clan. I'm Scottish, so I have an online community called the Calm Clan, and whereby I do weekly meditation gatherings, monthly master classes. We basically take a journey together to experiencing all the Calmology exercises and techniques and teachings. So if they head over to my website, check out thecalmclan.com, they can sign up, join immediately, and I'll be seeing you online soon.
All right, great. And the website again is calmcool.me.
Calmco, calmco.me.
Oops, let me correct that. Because I put it on calmcool. Calm.
Well, that's quite cool as well. I might buy that domain. But this is calmco. Calmco. Like a company, you know, calmco.
Yeah. .me.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. All right, Sandy. Well, listen, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on the show today. I really appreciate it. And I hope that whenever you make it to New York City, you look me up and we can get together, have a cup of something together.
That sounds lovely. From your introduction, I'm sure we are kindred spirits, and it'd be great to meet you one day.
All right. Sounds great. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, for joining us today, because without you, there is no show. I've been seeing a lot of people coming on the video during the day. I see we're in the back end that we have countries and cities around the world listening in. And if you like this interview, please don't keep it a secret. Share it with your friends. Share and help us to get this information out there. You never know who it might help. And stay tuned, because right after the show, we have that new show on talkradio.nyc, Voices of Courage with Ken Foster. So I hope you'll stay tuned and listen to his show. And of course, come back and we will talk to you again next week.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.